I want to discuss tonight a very general topic, nothing directly connected to what we're learning this week, but something which is important for the whole siman, important for all the chashim mishpat, that is the question of dina d'malchus adina, the law. How does the halacha take into account what the law says? Obviously, that's something that's relevant to all areas of chashim mishpat, and some of what we'll talk about tonight is going to be the general discussion, but we'll focus a little bit on some of the specific maror makomos, poskim we discuss how we deal with Niske Shechenim, zoning, and neighborly issues from the perspective of the law. So, one of the most widely quoted Maror Makomos is a literally one line from the Bach, about six words in the Bach. The Bach is talking actually about Beis HaKiseh, that's something from the end of the Siman, the making basically latrines, different types of outhouses, things that cause smell and irritation. So there's a complicated sugya later about what the status of Beis HaKiseh is. It's actually a machlokas, mechaber and rama, machlokas rishonim, mechaber and rama, whether l'chatchila, under the circumstances being described, you're allowed to build an outhouse next to your privy, next to your neighbor's property. Mechaber is machmer, the rama is mekel. The Bach, going on, commenting on the post, can say that you're not allowed to. So there are machmirim, even the rishonim. So the Bach says, b'zman hazeh, when it's dina malchus adina to do it, then you're allowed to. The din changes. The Bach doesn't explain. The Bach doesn't give any lumdus or anything. He just says, because the law says that you do it, so we do it, and the halacha that it's usher doesn't apply. Now, it's not even entirely clear what the Bach means when he says it's the law. You could read the Bach kipshuto that he means the law is that they denied neighbors the right to protest. Or it seems that some Achronim understood that the law that we're talking about was even more. The law required people to actually build outhouses. The law said every homeowner must build a toilet of some sort. So they had no choice. They have to build outhouses. We'll see why that should affect the halacha necessarily. If they tell you to do something that's osur, it doesn't mean you can do it. But not even clear what law we're talking about. The law that you shouldn't object to your neighbors, or the law that you have to do it yourself. In any event, many Achronim bring this Bach, L'maisa, the Knesset Gdola, Emunah Shmuel, Mechaspitim. The Emunah Shmuel says, Kvar HaRazakin, this is the halacha. This is what the Bach says, that when we have a law, the law somehow has the power to change the din from... Now, in the Bach's case, the halacha was changing the din from you're allowed to be malcha, meaning it's austere to do it, to you're allowed to do it, then you can't be malcha. Some poskim are going to be discussing the reverse situation, where halacha might not give you the right to be mochen somebody else, and the law is more strict, and the law would give you the right. Tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak will discuss a little more soon. His case, somebody was selling neft, which I think is kerosene, or some kind of flammable substance, and the neighbor was very concerned that it was dangerous, it can cause a fire, so he reported him to the government, and under the government safety code, they required special blast doors, they required dlasa shel barzel. So in that case, the suggestion is that the law might have been more strict than the halacha. But in any event, the Bach is talking about a case where the law basically was less strict, or the law wanted you to have outhouses, so the law allowed something which halacha doesn't allow. And the Bach says, we follow the law. Now, some of the Achronim ask why. The Marsham, the Beis Yitzchak, they both raise the question, in general, we're not so quick to follow the Malchusa against the law. We'll discuss this more as we go, but in general, Befrat, they bring the Shach, they both bring the Shach, Befrat, the Shach has a famous Shita in Siman Ayin Gimel that even, first of all, there's a general debate among the poskim about the scope of Din Malchus Adina. Some poskim, some Rishonim, some poskim say it's only where the government has an interest, either it's taxation or currency or something which involves the government's direct interest, that's Din Malchus. But something which is just for the general regulation of society, regulation of commerce, that, you know, there is no commerce clause, that halacha doesn't recognize the, at least between Jews, halacha doesn't expect Jews, the poskim are not saying the government has no right to do it, they're saying that between Jews, we don't follow regulations that the government passes for the general benefit of commercial society. So they, and even though the Ramah does pass, and the Ramah is basically the broadest proponent of Din Malchusa, the Ramah says that we do say Din Malchusa, anything which is what he calls Latova or Latikun B'nai Medina, even when it's just regulating commerce. But the Shach says, not when it's keneged din Torah. If the halacha comes into a direct contradiction with din Torah, then l'kuli alma, we don't follow din malchus adina. Now, it's a very difficult question what the Shach exactly means. What does it mean it's keneged din Torah? The Torah always has an opinion, either yes or no. So what does it mean something is keneged din Torah? there are no real gray areas. If there's no Isser, then it's mutter. So the poskim debate exactly what the shach means by keneged din Torah, but the, be that as it may, the Marsham and the Beis Yitzchak both ask here, why should we follow Dina Malchus Adina if it's keneged din Torah? If they assume that in these cases where the halacha has a clear p'sak, either Asur or mutter to do something, and the law comes and says fakert, why should we follow the law? So they both take an approach. They say several different things, but the Marsham clearly says this vart, which really is, I think the Chazon Ish says something similar. I wasn't able to find it tonight. Maybe tomorrow I'll have it. But the Marsham articulates the vart, and Beis Yitzchak says this in the course of his analysis too, that the law works indirectly via the creation of a minhag. The law sometimes, and this is a yisod that's very far-reaching throughout Chazon Mishpat, even if we don't accept directly that the law is binding between two Jews, the law can establish the environment in which they and people operate. The law can establish minhagim. Now, this is very easy to say when you're dealing with a contract issue, like rentals, for example, or employment, where Reuven and Shimon have to make a deal and they don't specify all the details. So you can say, if the law says X, Y, Z, then people presumptively, by default, mean that their contract should be interpreted according to the law. That's a pretty easy thing to say. Here, it's not really so simple. Here, it's Niske Shechein, and there's no contract there. They happen to be neighbors. They never reached any agreement. They may not even know each other. They may never have met each other. Not as simple to say it's a contractual issue. It's possible you can argue by default, by moving in and living there, they're tacitly implying that they agreed to the laws of the land if they're widely held. But in any event, that is what the Marsham says the Bach really means here. That's the real force of the Bach. Not necessarily that the law itself is binding between Jews, but insofar as the law establishes a norm, the law establishes a custom, then Befrat, in this case, he says, where anyway it's Machlokas, the Ramah does say that he was also talking about the same case of the Bach, of the latrines, the privies, where the Ramah does say it's Mutter, and in the case of a Machlokas, Ramah and Machaber, a Minog could be Kaveah, what the Halacha is. So if the law says a certain thing, and the law establishes the Minog, and the Minog anyway is simply choosing between two Shitas, then we will follow the Minog and follow that Shita. Beis Yitzchak, as I mentioned earlier, was talking about a different case. Beis Yitzchak had nothing to do with latrines. He was talking about the guy who was selling kerosene and other flammable stuff, and his neighbor was very nervous about explosions and fires. He reported him to the government, who required him. They didn't even fine him, apparently, or anything. Some of the other posts can talk about fines. He wasn't even talking about a fine. He was just talking about they required him to build these iron blast doors. So the Beis Yitzchak's tshuva is a little hard to understand. His language doesn't seem entirely precise. He begins by saying that even according to Din Torah, these doors would be required. So the Bechlalo case, he says, the complaint was that Reuven reported Shimon to the government, and the government forced Shimon to spend money to build doors, and Shimon was upset at the expense. So the Beis Yitzchak says, obviously, if the expense is something that you're mechuyev to do al pi Din Torah, if you were to go to Beis Din would say you have to build these blast doors, obviously you can't complain to Reuven for this. That's his first point, that al pi Din Torah itself, even though you're not going to find kerosene, you're not going to find naphtha as one of the enumerated Niske Shechinim, but the post can repeatedly say throughout Niske Shechinim, a language we may have seen, we'll see as we go, that these are just examples, and the klal is al-mazik l'harachis atma. We're learning this week a little bit about Giri Delay. There are certain rules, but in general, the attitude of the poskim is, don't me know me know, the tein l'chacham v'yach kamod, you see the Chazal were very strict and were mechayev you to avoid causing hazik, and in general, we make up our own niske shechinim right and left. We have no problem making up our own. So the Beis Yitzchak says, it's pretty clear the halacha would also require you, if the law establishes this is not safe, again, now we know that not all laws, a law doesn't translate directly and obviously into an objective hezek. The law might be too machmer, but in this case, the Beis Yitzchak starts the tshuva apparently by assuming the halacha itself, native halacha, would require you to build these doors. But then later on in the tshuva, he seems to be arguing that the halacha would require you to follow the law, regardless of whether halacha makes an independent determination that this is dangerous. He says, we follow the law, he brings the Bach. And again, he addresses the question of who said we follow laws when it's against in Torah. So he debates the question back and forth, and he brings the shach, but he basically comes out, even the shach, he says the shach was talking about a private arrangement about pawnbrokers and securities and selling a mashkin. Here he says where it's a basic question of public safety. He doesn't really explain in Lumdas why public safety is so different than an ordinary question of loans and securities, but he says here where it's a question of public safety, everyone would agree, even the shach, that we defer to the law. So again, not entirely clear whether he means really, because halacha itself would say the same thing, even without the law, once we accept that it's dangerous. Sounds more like he's saying that we just defer to the law. Not so clear at the end of the day whether he's simply saying we follow the law, or he's simply saying we trust the law to establish what's dangerous, and the halacha itself is mechayev that you follow it. His very last line in this portion of the tshuva, he refers to a chasam sofer, just tells you the Maror Makom. Happens to be a very, very important tshuva and widely quoted tshuva, the chasam sofer. Chasam sofer has a kind of philosophy or mechanism of dina malchus adina. He says, when we had our own batei din, our own sovereignty, it was the job of the beis din, it was the job of our own kehilas to pass laws that were for the safety, for the benefit of the community. When we don't have laws, he says, then we defer, we follow the secular law, din malchus adina. And the litmus test is, the rule is, he says, we look at the law and we say, is this the sort of law that we would pass, that Chazal would pass, that Poskim would pass if we were in charge? Now, obviously, deciding that question is not a simple matter. And there is sometimes debate in the Poskim about what rules do you use to decide whether the Torah would pass a law if the Torah doesn't discuss a certain thing. But Poskim do use this Chasam Sofer as a general rule that if we can make a convincing argument that Halacha itself, if we were in charge of making legislation, we would pass the same thing, then if they passed it, we follow the law. So the Beis Yitzchak, in some combination between some combination of secular law and the fact that we recognize the motivation behind the secular law and its public safety, he says that you have to follow the law, and he brings the Bach. That's his position.
Why is that not being moser to tell the government that your shachin is violating the law, even though he's keeping the halacha?
So that's a complicated question, and there are several facets to the question. There's one question, whether you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. The answer is probably no. The question here wasn't, can you do it l'chatchila? The question here was, b'dieved, what's the din? So moser always has two components. There's the rishus of it, and the fact that you're endangering a Jew's life, and he can get thrown in jail, and tortured, and killed. That's why he's a rode, if that's why he's no chelik l'olam haba. But there's also an aspect of Moser, which we're just dealing with Chashon Mishpat. B'dieved, are you a mazik? Moser is also considered a subcategory of mazik. The question is, are you a mazik? So we're not assessing the level of rishus of what you did. If any, we're discussing, is there any tvi al pidin? And the answer to that, we have to assess, was there actual hezek? If no, even if you shouldn't have done it, there's a tshuva in the Marsham. He talks about a case of two competitors. Nothing to do with Nisgei Shchenim, but there were two competitors. One of them was acting with a license. One was operating without a license. The one with a license was upset. He didn't think that was right. He had better profit margins. He could afford to undersell him. He wasn't paying for the license. So he reported him to the government, and he got fined. He wasn't just forced to buy a license. He was actually fined. So he was conveying him as a moser. You took me into court, and you took me to the government, and you got me fined. Marsham actually rules that he is not a moser, but he doesn't have to pay. He says because the fine of the government is valid under Dina Malchus Adina, the government has the right to regulate professions and industries, and they have the right to levy fines to enforce and sanction violators. Marsham says he did a terrible thing, and we have to maybe based on should maybe penalize him and sanction him and sanction the moser in order that he shouldn't do it again. But according to strict Chashon Mishpat, he says, b'dieved, if we're discussing a tviya for hezek, there's no tviya because whatever the government did was valid under the law. That actually takes us to another discussion I read. There are some contemporary discussions in the poskim. I read one discussion out of one of the Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody built a ganon. I just looked it up in the dictionary. It might mean an awning. It might mean something else. He built some kind of addition to his house. A neighbor complained to the government. Actually, the neighbor denied complaining, as often happens, but it was alleged that the neighbor complained to the government, local government in Israel, and they forced him to, A, take it down, B, he was fined. So the aggrieved neighbor sued and was tovei him in beis din as a moser. So they discuss a number of different aspects, most of which are not relevant to us. But for one of the questions they discuss is there any issue of mesira here? And again, one of the dayanim makes this point. He says zoning laws, laws that regulate the use of neighbors, would be valid, they claim, under Dina Malchus Adina. Again, not a slam dunk. We discussed other poskim are not so sure. You have the Bach, you have those who are mavafik on the Bach. Not necessarily, and it wasn't an issue of public safety there, it sounds like. It sounds like it was just a relatively petty violation of the law. But at least one of the Dana made the same argument, basically the same argument as the Marsham, that Dina Malchus Adina, and even if it's a question of fines, they both bring the same mabit, the Marsham and this Israeli Dayan, they bring a mabit who says Dina Malchus Adina doesn't just mean the taxes and the laws, even fines that the government imposes to enforce laws, that's also under the scope of Dina Malchus Adina, and therefore, at least b'dieved, you can't be Tavea as a moser. Again, not so simple, though, that we actually invoke Dina Malchus Adina in such cases.
In Eretz Yisrael as well, isn't there a question?
Yes, so the basin discusses the question of Eretz Yisrael applying Dina Malchus Adina, which again, you know, there are many different aspects of Dina Malchus Adina which we can debate. Yes, that is a very important question. They discuss that. One other angle of Dina Malchusadina, which we should mention, this is not relevant perhaps in most cases of zoning, but it can come up, so we should acknowledge it. There's a tshuva in the Maralbach. He was discussing people who were building additions on their houses. We have, not only can't you build in public spaces, you have to even set back from your property a certain amount of, certain distance from the property line, from the public streets. But in those cases, and we know from Mishnayos, Gemaras, that things were so crowded sometimes, they actually used to build things, balconies and ledges and beams that would extend out into the street. So again, there are complicated halachas, when you're allowed to do that, when you're not allowed to do that. So the Maralbach, in the course of discussing such a case, a person who made an addition and built something that extended out into the Rishus HaRabim, the Maralbach brings it to his Rashba, or the Poskim also, that if the law allows it, then we follow Dina Malchusadina. But the Hesber he gives is a much narrower Hesber. He doesn't just say, because Dina Malchusadina, we follow whenever it's for the public good, things like Niske Shechein, and we regulate according to Dina Malchusadina. He says, no, he says, public space, that is inherently a government good. That's inherently something the government owns and controls. So they're the ones who get to set the rules on anything involving public space. Apparently, Bein Lekula, perhaps Bein Lechumra, it's their space and they make the rules. Anytime you're dealing with using public space, then there's a stronger argument that Dina Malchusadina should apply. Just one last Maramakam, which I don't fully understand, but it's important, someone's going to mention it, is a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's tshuva was not actually about Niske Shechein primarily. The actual tshuva was about whether halacha respects, whether halacha accepts bankruptcy law. And it's a very important tshuva, topic for another day. But in the course of his tshuva, Rav Moshe begins the tshuva by limiting very much. He begins with that shita, the expansive shita of Dina Malchusadina, that it applies anything which is the Tovas B'nai Medina. Rav Moshe then backtracks and limits it and says it doesn't really mean everything. There are certain areas, I don't really understand Rav Moshe's distinction, but he says there are certain areas which are inherently private, which the government allows people to regulate their own affairs, like wills, like Yerusha, even like torts, he says, Nezikin, that the government doesn't really care. If you want to do things your own way, that's fine. They have laws of people who can't agree, but if a community or a family wants to regulate its affairs its own way, then the government doesn't care. And in those cases, he says, you don't see Dina Malchusadina. That's why you don't see Dina Malchusadina on Yerusha, which is pretty widely accepted. You don't see Dina Malchusadina, he says, on torts, on Nizakin. And also, he says, you don't see Dina Malchusadina on Niske Shechein. That's inherently a private, personal thing where people, neighbors, families, community members can regulate their own affairs. And just in passing, Rav Moshe says, you don't say Dina Malchusadina on Niske Shechein. Again, we don't have much context here. That's not the primary point of Rav Moshe's tshuva. So it's difficult to know exactly what he means, whether he's really cholek on the, again, maybe he understood the Bach in the more limited way of the other Acharonim. But it is worth noting that Rav Moshe in passing does say that we don't apply the rule of Dina Malchusadina with regard to Niske Shechein.